जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त बृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त बृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त बृंद रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत अंतलीला चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 37 ऑनवर्ड्स এই মতে দুই ভাই গৌর দেশে আইলা গৌরে আসি অনুপমের গঙ্গা প্রাপ্তি হইলা ইন দিস ওয়ে দ্য টু ব্রাদার্স রূপ অ্যান্ড অনুপম রিচড বেঙ্গল বাট ওয়েন দে অ্যারাইভ দেয়ার অনুপম ডাইড পারপোর্ট ফর্মালি ওয়েন এ পার্সন ডাইড ইট ওয়াজ কমনলি সেড that he had attained the shelter of Mother Ganges. Even if he did not die on the bank of the Ganges, it is customary among the Hindus to carry a dying person to a nearby bank of the Ganges. For if one dies on the bank of the Ganges, his soul is considered to reach the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, wherefrom the Ganges flows. Krishna made various kinds of arrangements to take the living entities back to Godhead. He himself comes as incarnation. He comes as his deity, which is also non-different from himself. Then he came also as Shalagram Shila. He sent his different devotees, different associates, many of them are constantly residing here, like Tulasi Devi, and his abode, his dham, also is there. And Krishna sent Ganges from the spiritual sky onto this earth planet. And all these arrangements have been made by Krishna in order to deliver the conditioned soul. Krishna comes to this earth planet simply to deliver the conditioned soul. Otherwise, Krishna doesn't have any business here. Krishna manifested himself as his deity. Krishna manifested himself as the holy name simply to deliver the fallen. So in this way, Krishna displays his causeless mercy upon the fallen souls, the conditioned souls, so that they can become liberated from this miserable material bondage and go back to the spiritual sky. Ganges has come down simply to deliver this earth planet. Ganges is in the spiritual sky. But from the spiritual sky, Ganges came down. Ganges were brought to this earth planet by Bhogirath. There was a king, very powerful king, called Sagara. And although he was a very powerful king, but his sons, he has 64,000 sons. It may sound a little impossible, but it's a fact. He had 64,000 sons, and his sons were not very good people. They were all rascals. And at one time, Sagara, King Sagara, was performing a horse sacrifice. There are different types of sacrifices prescribed in the scriptures to elevate oneself. So So when one performs horse sacrifice, as a result of one horse sacrifice, one can become the king of the entire earth planet. And by performing 100 horse sacrifices, one can attain the position of Indra, the king of the heavenly planet. Therefore, Indra becomes worried when he sees that someone is performing horse sacrifice. He thinks that someone is going to take over his position. So when Indra saw that King Sagara was performing horse sacrifice, Indra became alarmed and he stole the horse, the sacrificial horse, and he tied it down in the lower planetary system called Patala Loka, where Kapiladeva, the incarnation of the Lord, was performing meditation. He was absorbed in his meditation there. And Indra stole the horse and tied just next to his ashram. And when the sacrificial horse was lost, everybody became very worried, and King 64,000 sons went in all different directions searching for the horse. Then they came to Patala Loka, and there they found that the horse was tied down next to Kapila Muni's ashram. So they started to insult Kapila, say, calling him a thief. They said, this person is a thief, but he's pretending to be a sadhu. So this is the most degraded kind of, this is the most abominable sin that one can act, to pretend to dress up like a sadhu, to dress up like a saintly person and then indulge in all kinds of abominable activities. That's silly. So when they started insulting like that, then Kapil Muni just opened his eyes. And as a result of his glance, all 64,000 sons of Sagara were burnt to ashes. He's such a powerful person that just by his glance, fiery glance, all 64,000 sons of King Sagara were burnt to ashes. So when the news reached to Sagara, he was very much afflicted, and he felt that his sons were all going to suffer eternal hellish condition because they were burnt due to the wrath of a sage. And so then they found out that the only way they can be delivered is if Ganges came down from the spiritual, from the higher planetary systems. Actually, Ganges appeared on this universe. Do you all know how Ganges appeared on the universe? Bhavanadev, when he stretched his second step and covered up the entire antariksha or space, then his lotus feet touched the outer covering of the universe. And his toe pierced, penetrated through the universe. And then the Ganges came down from cosmos. But although Ganges came to the universe, but Ganges didn't touch the ground. Usually Ganges flew from the Meru to Meru, from one planet, the Meru, the topmost region of the, or one can call it the mountain top. Every planet has a mountain as an axis. And that's the topmost part of the planet. So Ganges jumps from Meru to Meru, mountain to mountain. And this way Ganges is coming down to the different planetary systems. But King Sagara got to know that if Ganges came and washed their bodies, the ashes that were lying there, then they would be delivered. So Sagar's son, one other good son Sagara had, his name was Anshuman. So Anshuman went to the Himalayas to perform austerities to bring Ganges down. But Anshuman was unsuccessful. He left his body and still could not bring Ganges down to the earth planet. So Anshuman's son was Dilip. He also performed great austerity in the Himalayas in order to bring Ganges down. He also couldn't succeed. But Dilip's son, Bhagirath, went to the Himalayas and performed austerity, and he was able to please the Ganges. So Ganges appeared to Bhagirath and asked, what can I do for you? What do you want from me? Why are you calling me? So Bhagirath said, now please come down to the earth planet to deliver my forefathers. So Ganges said, well, I don't mind going to the earth planet, but if I fall onto the earth planet, then I will fall with such a speed, such a force, that I won't flow through the planet, but I will penetrate through the planet. So you have to make some arrangement that my water can be retained. So Bhagirath asked, how is it possible? How can we possibly hold your current? Then Ganga said, the only person who can actually hold me is Lord Shiva. If Lord Shiva holds my fall on his head, then I can then gradually slide down from his body. Then Bhagirath again performed austerities to please Lord Shiva. And after he pleased Lord Shiva agreed to come. So Lord Shiva stood there, and then Ganga came down, and Ganga fell right on Lord Shiva's head. And this way Ganga came down to this planet, but when Lord Shiva held Ganga on his matted hair, Lord Shiva has a long matted hair, and the matted hair is tied down in a, what's it called, in a tuft. Huh? What's the English expression for that? Top knot, yeah, okay. So, when Ganga fell on Lord Shiva's top knot, then Ganga got lost. Like, on Lord Shiva's head, Ganga got lost. Then again, Bhagirath had to perform austerities to please Lord Shiva to let Ganga loose from his head. And then Lord Shiva released Ganga. Therefore, it is the pictures of Lord Shiva show that the stream of Ganga is actually coming out of his head. So then Ganga came down to the earth planet, and Ganga flew through the entire stretch of the land of northern part of India, and then goes to the ocean in near Bengal, near Calcutta. And that is the place where Kapil Muni's ashram is. And Ganga washed the ashes, and that's how the 64 sons of Sagara were delivered. So in this way, Ganga actually came not only to deliver the sons of Sagara, but Ganga came to deliver all the living entities. Just like Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, apparently Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, but the whole world benefits out of that Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, although Ganga came to deliver the 64,000 sons of King Sagara, but Ganga actually is still delivering everybody. So in this way, Krishna's mercy flows to deliver the living entity. Now in this age, how Krishna's mercy became manifested in the age of Kali. The first mercy of Krishna in this age of Kali is his appearance as Sri Chaitanya. Krishna offered his love to anyone and everyone in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Krishna, along with Srimati Radharani, came down in one personality, and that is Sri Chaitanya. So, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna distributed his greatest mercy. In no other incarnation, Krishna actually became so merciful. In other incarnations, he had different various reservations, as Lord Ramachandra, Vamana Dev, Nishinga Dev. He had various reservations. And then when he comes as Krishna, he becomes very, very liberal. In no other incarnation, Krishna is as liberal as his appearance as Krishna. Because in other incarnations, the living entities have a clear understanding, or those who have a clear understanding that this incarnation of the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then they develop a relationship with that personality as his devotee, and then they receive the mercy of that incarnation. But as Krishna allowed his devotees to become very familiar with him, very intimate with him. In other incarnations, the devotees have a clear understanding that their worshipable Lord is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the incarnation of Krishna, that reservation was not there. Krishna's devotees often did not realize that this person is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Krishna allowed them to come very, very close to him. And Krishna allowed them to become his friend, to become equal to him. Krishna allowed them to become his father and mother. And Krishna allowed them to become superior to him, and he became inferior. And Krishna even allowed them to develop a loving relationship, just like a girlfriend and a boyfriend. Just as a girl, young girl, feels about his about her boyfriend, feels very deep and intense love, Krishna allowed some devotees to develop that kind of loving relationship. So in this way, Krishna very mercifully allowed the living entities to develop very, very intimate relationship with him. But still Krishna had the condition. Only those who are devotees were allowed to develop that relationship. Not anyone else. One had to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Then only one could develop that relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan pastime. But when Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became even more merciful. Krishna actually came as a devotee. So as a devotee, Krishna became even more merciful. So when Krishna played the role of a devotee, he became extremely merciful. And even though someone was not a devotee, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he distributed him his love and allowed him to come close to him. So in this way, we can see that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation or most merciful appearance of Krishna. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been described as Mahavadanna Avatar. most munificent appearance of the Lord. In no other incarnation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been so merciful. But even more merciful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Nityananda Prabhu. Why? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is the Supreme Person, although he came as a devotee, but still he is the Supreme Personality of God. But Nityananda Prabhu is the devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Nityananda Prabhu is even more merciful. So in this way, we can see that although Krishna is the most merciful, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the most merciful, but his devotees are even more merciful. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more merciful than Krishna? Because as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came as a devotee. Krishna came as a devotee as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And why Nityananda Prabhu is more merciful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because Nityananda Prabhu is a devotee of Chaitanya. Therefore, Nityananda Prabhu is more merciful. In this way, we can see that the devotees of the Lord are more merciful than the Lord himself. And although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and distributed Krishna consciousness or love of Krishna along with Nityananda Prabhu, he distributed it only throughout the land of India. There was some consideration in that past time that the people are qualified only in this part of the land. The others were not at all qualified during Mahaprabhu's past time. And Mahaprabhu with Nityananda Prabhu, he flooded the entire land of India with Krishna consciousness about 500 years ago. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that although I am distributing this Krishna consciousness only throughout India, but a time will come when this Krishna consciousness will spread all over the world, in every town and village. Everywhere this Krishna consciousness is spread. So Mahaprabhu himself did not accomplish this greatest mission of flooding the whole world with Krishna consciousness. But he predicted that it would happen in due course of time. And fulfilling that prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his very, very intimate associate appeared, and that is his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And Prabhupada came and he distributed Krishna consciousness all over the world in a most amazing way, which was a clear indication of how Mahaprabhu's devotees, Nityananda Prabhu's devotees, are even more merciful than themselves. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction has become fulfilled through Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, gradually Krishna consciousness will increase, and a time will come when the whole world will become Krishna conscious. The whole world will be flooded with Krishna consciousness. One may question when that time is going to come, when the whole world will be flooded. Actually, there is no consideration of time in this respect. There is no way of saying whether it will take how many years or how many months or even how many days it may take. Just as about 20 years ago, no one could even believe that Krishna consciousness would spread throughout the world. But it happened. Prabhupada made it possible. Within only 10 years' time, isn't it impossible, isn't it amazing that Krishna consciousness has spread all over the world today? And Prabhupada did it within 10 years' time. And within 10 years' time, Prabhupada spread and made arrangements for flooding the whole world with Krishna consciousness. And then Prabhupada left the responsibility of carrying on his mission upon his followers. Those who will take up Srila Prabhupada's mission sincerely, through him, this Krishna consciousness spread. And what is the basis of Srila Prabhupada's mission of spreading Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada himself said, books are the basis. We notice when we look back and consider how we became devotees, we see that most of us actually joined by reading Srila Prabhupada's book. How many of you joined by reading Srila Prabhupada's book? So we can see practically everyone joined ISKCON by reading Srila Prabhupada's book. And that is a clear indication how powerful, how potent, spiritually potent these books are. No one knows, like when one takes the book, he doesn't really know what he's taking. But somehow or other, if he starts to read, then immediately he becomes transformed. Like I remember when I got The Nectar of Devotion. That's the first book I got. And I didn't really think very much of it. I thought that I already read so many books. And this is another book, like another one of those books. I went, since I got it, I'll read it. And when I went back home in the evening, I started to read. And practically from the very first page, I felt that this is what I was looking for. And I could say, as I kept on reading, my heart was transformed. And I'm sure that's what happened to all of you. Did you think very much about the books? Maybe you have thought, well, the pictures are nice, the paintings are nice, the binding is nice. Or it will be nice, it will be a nice addition in my bookcase, bookshelf. That was about all. But we never knew that how powerful these books are. Therefore, Harikesh Maharaj very aptly calls these books the time bomb. The time bomb. You plant a bomb, the bomb looks very innocent. You don't really see, it like just looks, you can't figure out what it, I mean, how dangerous it can be. But, and you see the bomb is lying there for 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. But in due course of time, when the bomb is supposed to explode, then what happens? It explodes and finishes off everything, right? Similarly, these books, in due course of time, will act. And of course, the books don't explode with a destructive force, but they explode with a constructive force. It destroys our Maya. It destroys our material attachment. And it gives us Krishna. When I think about this, the potency of these books, one example actually comes very vividly in my mind is a devotee in France. He was, at that time, he was a retired man, and he was 62 years old. And sometime he got a Bhagavad Gita in French. And he also, like anyone else, didn't really think very much about this time bomb. He kept that book in his shelf, never even bothered to read it. And then, by Krishna's mercy, one day he developed some kind of, he became very sick. He developed some sort of temporary paralysis. And he was bedridden for 2.5 months. And when you lie in the bed, what can you do? You get even tired of sleeping. So the only thing you can do is read. So he started to read books that he had in his shelf. And the time of the time bomb was ticking. So one day he just picked up the Bhagavad Gita. And as he started to read, the bomb exploded. And he was bedridden at that time. But internally, within himself, he resolved. He became very, very impressed, and he felt that this book makes a lot of sense. Whatever this book is saying is very, very accurate, very, very correct. So he became very positive, very favorable. And he felt that if he became well again, if he could walk about, move about, then he would go and meet these people. At the end of the book, there was this address of New Mayapur. So he became well after a while, and then he came. The first thing he did, about 500. Anyway, it's a long distance. It takes about 7 hours. Yeah. Takes about 7 hours. Anyway, so he drove all the way from and he came to New Mayapur just the day before Golpur. And it was such a festive mood that he later on used to tell me that, I mean, when he saw the devotees and when he saw that how wonderful these people are, and he could see that what he read in the book and what actually inspired him so much is practically is manifested in front of him as a practical reality. And he started to cry in ecstasy. And then that person not only became a devotee, he actually offered everything. He sold his house, he gave everything to Krishna. And in order to save New Mayapur, he played a very, very significant role. He not only gave his money, but he also was our frontline man to fight with the different elements. And so in this way, a revolution actually takes place in our consciousness. That's exactly what has been spoken about the books or the words of Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam himself, Yashmin Pratishloko Janatagho Viplam. Every single verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is actually able to cause a revolution. But it's not a bloody French revolution, but it's a revolution of consciousness. From Maya, it is just transported into spiritual consciousness. Revolution means movement. When it moves, then what happens? What is top becomes bottom, and bottom becomes top. Things turn upside down. So similarly, through the book, our consciousness is there is a revolution in our consciousness. And therefore, we have so much, Srila Prabhupada put so much emphasis on book distribution. Give out this book. When these books go out, someday the bomb will explode. We do not know when and how, It doesn't matter. Let us go and as loyal soldiers of Srila Prabhupada's army, plant these time bombs in different places. And then in due course of time, the explosion will take place and the Maya will be finished. Actually, as the soldiers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's army, who are we fighting against? We are fighting against Maya. And these books are our weapons to fight against. As people read this book, even if they don't read, if they just buy this book, to a great extent our mission has been successful. Like the soldiers, they take great risk to plant bombs in the enemy territory. Isn't it? So similarly, our devotees, you all, are going out and planting this time bomb in the enemy territory against so many dangers, so many possible dangers, like going out in the cities where Maya is so strong and one can so easily fall down as a victim of Maya. But one takes the risk to plant these bombs in the enemy territory. And when one takes the book, innocently he takes the book, but he doesn't know that he is actually taking a time bomb. And it will explode. It may blow up right on his face, or it will blow up on the face of his children, or friends, or grandchildren. No one knows on whose face the bomb is going to explode. But wherever it explodes, goes to our favor, goes to our benefit. And what to speak of one buying the book, early days, devotees used to somehow or other try to, if somebody didn't even buy the book, they used to try to somehow make them touch the book. Because they used to feel that by touching the book, by touching Srila Prabhupada's book, they will acquire some spiritual benefit. They will acquire some sukriti. And then, probably when they come across the next book distributor, they'll buy the book. So we are making some sukriti by making them touch the book. So what to speak of if someone favorably buys the book? And what to speak of if somebody reads the book? Therefore, Prabhupada was also very emphatic about one thing, that this book should be distributed in such a way that people do not become negative about us. Prabhupada said that if they become negative about us, then they will not read the book. They will not take our mission favorably. Therefore, the book distributors have to be very careful that they do not create any negative impression. Instead, they must create a very positive impression. Because when they see, just like Parthasarathi, this devotee that I was talking about in France, when he came, he became impressed by the philosophy. But when he came to New Mayapur and when he saw the devotees, the impression was so positive that right then and there he decided to join. So the impression that we give them must be very, very positive. And it has, because he says, it plays a very important role in their becoming. If they respect us, if they respect the distributor of the book, then they will read the book. And when they read the book and they have the impression, the image of a person who is living, who is a living example of the book, then it will impress him very, very much. Therefore, we all must remember that this word Bhagavat has two aspects. One is a book Bhagavat and the other is the person Bhavi. And who are the person Bhavi? The devotees are the person. So we, those who are trying to distribute the book, must become the person Bhavi. And then only people will become favorable to Krishna consciousness. This is the arrangement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful appearance of the Lord. And why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful? Because he came to distribute this love of Krishna. He didn't come to enjoy. The supreme enjoyer did not come to enjoy Krishna consciousness, but he came to distribute Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he is so merciful. And the best way to receive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy by distributing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is another very important, very wonderful aspect, that we do not want to take Mahaprabhu's mercy, but we want to give Mahaprabhu's mercy. And the more we give Mahaprabhu's mercy, the more we become qualified to receive Mahaprabhu's mercy. Mahaprabhu is not telling that you take my mercy, but Mahaprabhu is actually telling you give my mercy, and to the extent you give my mercy, to that extent you'll get my mercy. Like, in order to clarify that point, I often remember one example. Prabhupada used to say that when you distribute a book, you get one bhakti coin to your credit. And that bhakti coin is deposited in your account. Two bhakti coins, three bhakti coins, 100 bhakti coins, a million bhakti coins. But Prabhupada said that one who arranges for book distribution, then the one who distributes the book, he gets the bhakti coin, and who actually facilitated him, he also gets a bhakti coin. He also gets a bhakti coin. So only the distributor of the books are not getting the coin or getting the credit. Those who are arranging the book distribution, they are also getting the credit. So you inspire others also to distribute books. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, as we distribute, we get ourselves. And regarding that, there is a very nice verse by Prabodhananda Saraswati. It's from Chaitanya Chandradaya. Prabodhananda Saraswati, he is the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And he was also a very great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada Saraswati was a great poet and a dramatist. So he wrote a play on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there, Prabhupada Saraswati is saying, Jatha Jatha Gaura Padara Vinde Vinde to Bhakti Krita Punja Rashi Tatha tathut sarpati vidhi akashmat Radha padambho yashudham kodashi Jatha jatha gaura padaro vinde Vinde to bhakti krita pindarashi. As one develops attachment to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, due to his heaps of pious activities, actually, it is due to our pious activities, heaps of, not only just ordinary pious activities, but due to inconceivable amount of pious activities, heaps of pious activities, we develop our attachment to Chaitanya. So those who became devotees of Krishna, devotees, those who have become members of ISKCON, we should remember that they actually are very, very pious people. They have mountains of pious activity. Otherwise, they couldn't come and join this movement. So, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur is saying that as one develops his attachment to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, due to his heaps of pious activity. Okay, here, another important consideration is, Prabhupada once said that he is creating the pious activities of Sukriti Maharaj. We didn't actually have the Sukriti, but Prabhupada created the Sukriti Maharaj. So this is another mercy of the pure devotee. The pure devotee gives it, and he also makes us qualified to receive it. Just like the mother gives something to the son, to the child. But then the mother says, okay, the hand is dirty. The mother is giving a piece of cake. And then mother sees that the child's hand is dirty. Then what mother does, mother washes the hand to make him, to enable him to receive the cake. So this is how a pure devotee gives Krishna consciousness, and at the same time he makes an unqualified person qualified to receive this. So Prabhupada distributed Krishna consciousness all over the world, and at the same time Prabhupada generated that qualification or enabled us to become qualified to receive that person. So Kritapunya Rashi, due to heaps of pious activities, one becomes attached to the lotus feet of Chaitanya. And tatha tatha sarpati ridhi akushma. As one becomes attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, then what it does, the manifestation or the sign of Mahaprabhu's attachment to Mahaprabhu's lotus feet is attachment to Sankirtan. Sankirtan means distribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Preaching Krishna consciousness. Krishna is received automatically by the mercy of Shivaji. You have seen in the temple, Radharani's hands are like this. What does it mean? This gesture, this mudra, indicates the distribution of offering of love, offering of mercy. So Radharani is offering her mercy to all the world, to all the living entities. Actually, Krishna is not so merciful. Srimati Radharani is the personification. Actually, Krishna sometimes is miserly when it comes to distributing mercy. But Radharani appeals to Krishna, please give your love. Please bestow your mercy upon this soul. And then Krishna becomes compelled, because Krishna is subordinate to Radharani. Although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna is subordinate to Srimati Radharani. So therefore Radharani's position is even greater than Krishna's position. And only the Rupanuga devotees know that. Radharani's mercy is manifest, or Radharani's mercy is revealed to the Rupanuga Vaishnava. So, when we try to distribute Krishna consciousness, when we try to preach, we are actually trying to distribute Srimati Radharani. Why Krishna is so munificent as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Why Krishna is so munificent as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Very good. Because Krishna came with the mood of Srimati Radharani. When Krishna doesn't come with the mood of Srimati Radharani, Krishna is not so generous. Krishna is not so munificent. Actually, Krishna is a very difficult person because Krishna doesn't want to give his love. That's why Krishna consciousness is so rare. but Radharani is distributing. So we must understand that this book distribution program, this Sankirtan movement, the distribution of Krishna consciousness all over the world, is actually the mercy of Srimati Radha. Distribution of Srimati Radha's mercy and the arrangement of Srimati Radha. It's Radharani's arrangement to give out Krishna. Radha Bhavud Bhuti Shubhanita. I offer my obeisances unto that Krishna who has appeared with the mood and complexion of Shri Radha. Therefore, when we distribute books, we very easily receive Srimati Radharani's mercy. And Radharani's mercy is Krishna, love of Krishna. Because she is the reservoir of all of us. She is the reservoir of love. Srimati Radharani is the reservoir of love of Krishna. But that love of Krishna again becomes even more generously manifest by the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very munificent, but Rupa Goswami is even more munificent. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission has been explained by Srila Rupa Goswami. And the devotees of ISKCON are Rupanuga Vaishnavas. Devotees of ISKCON are the followers of Srimati Radharani, following the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that those who are in friendship, Shakhurash, they are attached to you. They are the followers of Nityananda. But those who are in the Madhurya Rasa, in conjugal manner, those who are devotees of Krishna in conjugal manner, they are the followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the personification of that Madhurya brain. And that has been most wonderfully distributed by Srila Rupa Goswami. And following the footsteps of Rupa Goswami's pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, we have come under the shelter of the International Life of Krishna Consciousness. And following Srila Prabhupada's mood, following Srila Rupa Goswami's mood, our main business is to distribute Krishna consciousness all over the world. Hare Krishna. Sri Sankirtan Jagya Ki
Jai.
Sri Naam Prabhu Ki
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada's Brihat Mridanga Ki
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki
Jai.
The Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distributors Ki
Jai.
Gaur Premanande. So, does anybody have any comments or any questions? First of all, we have to understand that these activities of the Lord and His devotees are completely spiritual, absolutely transcendental. We cannot really figure it out from with our intellectual understanding. And still, with that understanding to begin with, we go to explained that. That personality of Srimati Radharani is manifest as, or rather, became one with Krishna, and that is Chaitanya. And at the same time, a personality of Radharani participated in Mahaprabhu's pastime and Kadasarpa. Right? They can explain various forms. Like that's the absolute. If you take absolute away from absolute, what remains? Do you know the basic mathematical concept? The infinity? Infinity, you know the concept of infinity? Okay. Now infinity plus 25 is how much? Infinity. Infinity minus 25 is how much? Infinity minus infinity? Okay. Now absolute, minus absolute, absolute. Radharani minus Radharani? Radharani. So although Radharani expanded, became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha and Krishna became one and became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still Radharani is there. Right? Then she became Gadadhar. Still Radharani is there. Right? Like infinity minus infinity minus infinity is also infinity. Sukriti actually means destruction of anarthas. Actually, anarthas are causing our material attachment, are tying us down. Now, as long as we are materially attached, we cannot actually receive. As long as we are dirty, our heart is dirty with all kinds of material desires, we cannot receive Chaitanya. So in one hand, Prabhupada is distributing the mercy. At the same time, he is purifying us of our anartha. Just by giving his darshan, just by appearing here, Srila Prabhupada has created our sukha. Then, what to speak of other arrangements, like, Harinam, distribution of prasad, distribution of books. So these are Prabhupada's divine arrangements to create Sukriti. That's why, as I said, the devotees would somehow make them touch the book, even if they didn't buy the book. Because by touching, just like by touching Tulasi, one actually becomes purified. By touching Ganga, one becomes purified. Similarly, by touching the books, one becomes. Although it may be done unconsciously. Therefore it's called Agyata Sukha, unconscious mind. Well, those who are receiving it, they are the qualified candidates. The Prabhupada is distributing, and we can very easily receive it, provided we do not commit offenses. So the only impediment after that is our offenses. So we should be careful not to come back. And different devotees, I mean, you know, you can say that, well, different individuals are on different platforms. But actually, if you look at them, they all are in practically one platform. They all are in a very, very degraded platform. Everyone in this world is very degraded, especially the Indian culture. But in spite of our degradation, Srila Prabhupada is creative. Srila Prabhupada's mercy is so powerful that it's penetrating through our degradation and generating the appreciation within our heart. That is Srila Prabhupada. Because these books, actually Srimad Bhagavatam is there. Srimad Bhagavatam was there, right? Many people read them also, but they couldn't become devotees. Why? Their basic understanding is that because of their anartha, because of their degraded condition, they could not. But Prabhupada's Bhagavatam has a very special feature. That is, this Bhagavatam penetrates through our degradation, sin, and misery, you know, the anartha, and generates an appreciation. And that appreciation is the secret. And yes. And who is actually representing Srimati Radha? Therefore, the best way to pray is to pray to Srimati Radharani. Radharani is even the guru of Krishna. And Srimati Radharani teaches Krishna how to dance. And upon Radharani's order, Krishna even dances like a puppet in her hand. So those who are in the mellow of friendship, they will approach Nityananda. Right. And those who are in the mellow of conjugal relationship, conjugal love, they are the followers of Srimati Radhika through Shri. Is that clear? Actually, Radharani also, the spiritual master, is representing Srimati Radha. In our line, in Gaudiya Vaishnava line, Rupa, especially Rupa Nuga Gaudiya Vaishnava line, we are actually, it is understood that we are attached to Krishna in the mellow of conjugal or madhurya, which is the sweet mellow of love. We are not really in, our predominating relationship is not friendship or parenthood. Our predominating relationship is conjugal, following the footsteps of Chaitanya. But But of course, when we are conditioned, we do not actually understand what it means. Therefore, it is better not to discuss or think much about it. Like, for example, the son of a millionaire, just being the son of a millionaire, he inherited a million. But when he's a child, then he doesn't know what a million means, what $1 million means, or what $1 million guilder means. Yeah. But when he grows up, then he gets the money in his hand. And then he knows how to utilize it. But if a child receives the money at an immature stage, then what will happen? He'll become spoiled. Therefore, a great care has been taken about discussing these topics in at an immature stage. So we know that yes, my father is a millionaire. So I also, if I remain connected to my father, then someday I'll also inherit the million. But right now, I don't care about that. I'm happy. I'm happy playing with my friends in the field. When I grow up, then my father will give it to me. I don't worry about it. He doesn't want to, he wants to give money but doesn't want to give books. Okay, let him give money. Right, and when his money will become exhausted, then he will start to give books. You understand my point? Like, you know, now he is giving money. At least he is giving something to Krishna. Because he is giving money because he thinks, he puts a lot of emphasis on money. Right? But he doesn't really, he hasn't realized as yet that the books are even more important, more valuable, more precious. When he realizes that, then he will start to give books for him. It will happen in due course of time.
Yes, thank you. It is very good to drop it into the earth. So, if there is the drama infection, out of Radharani's business is not true. So if you are to wish yourself to be great, then it's not true.
Very good question. There are two birds in a tree. The one bird is the spirit soul and the other bird is the super soul. And the question is that how does this super soul actually is Krishna. So it shows that Krishna actually is very merciful, that he is going with the living entity. So how can he say that Radharani is more merciful? And how does Radharani fit into that? Yes. So Krishna is going with the living entity as the weakness, and Krishna is waiting how when the living entity will turn his face. But it is by the mercy of Srimati Radharani that the living entity will turn his face. Without Radharani's mercy, it's not going to be possible. Because the Ladini potency, the pleasure-giving potency, in simple words, it can be said, it can be considered to be the love potency. Love. Actually, Ladini means love. Now, how can we come close to Krishna unless we love him? Right? It is the love for Krishna that will make us turn our face towards him. And it is our love for Krishna that will pull us towards Krishna. attracted to it. And that is freedom. So, okay, Hare Krishna. Okay, the question is that often the gopis in Vrindavan thought Krishna to be a demigod. And it is said in the second offense is to consider Krishna to be equal to the demigod, or demigod to be equal to Krishna. Yeah. Actually, the gopis' understanding of Krishna as something less than the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not actually out of ignorance. You understand? Like, it is something which is even beyond absolute knowledge. Right? If you take the absolute knowledge, the below absolute knowledge is ignorance. And beyond absolute knowledge is not actually ignorance, although it may appear to be like ignorance. For example, the sun rises and sun sets. They're opposite. They're diametrically opposed. But don't they look alike? Therefore, the absolute knowledge sometimes may appear to be like ignorance. That's why it's called Yoga Maya. It is not Maya, it's not Mahamaya, which is the covering or bewildering position, the out of ignorance. But that's another kind of bewildering. That is arranged by Krishna's mercy so that they can come very close to Him. If they knew that Krishna is God, could they come so close to Him? If they knew that Krishna is God, could they climb on Krishna's back? If they knew that Krishna is God, then can they ask Krishna, please carry my shoes? If they knew that Krishna is God, then could they try to tie Him down with a rope? No. Right? Therefore, in order to allow them to deal with Him like that, Krishna made them forget that He is God. Like, can anyone who knows Krishna is God, I mean, for example, can anybody go to the temple and put his feet on Krishna's body in deity? Will anyone dare to do that? Right? Now, one doesn't even dare to do that into his deity manifestation. Will anybody ever dare to do that to Him, Himself? Right? But the cowherd boys are doing that. The cowherd boys are telling Krishna, now you are defeated by me, now you have to carry me on your back. So Krishna says, okay, calm down, I'll carry you too. He says, no, you sit down, because I can't climb down on your back. You sit down and then I'll climb. So then Krishna sits down, so he puts one step on his back, the other foot, other leg around Krishna's neck, and then he puts the other one around his neck, and then Krishna Krishna stands up and he carries them. So this is how the devotees of Vrindavan are dealing with Krishna. Could they do that if they knew that Krishna? Therefore, Krishna made them forget that. Okay, all All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sankirtan Jagya Ki. Gaur Premanande. Srila Prabhupada Sankirtan Marathon Ki. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki.
Shodha Bhakta Maharaj Ki.